Support for this podcast comes from the UTSA Institute of Texan Cultures. For more than 50 years, the museum has told stories of Texas history and heritage from diverse cultures that define the state's unique character. Details at texancultures.com.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Mobile home parks are closing at an alarming rate in San Antonio. That's according to a new report by researchers from the University of Texas at Austin. Most of the closed parks were found to have had substandard conditions. There were serious health and safety violations, which led the city to closing them down. And then there is the demand for land for redevelopment. The report titled Endangered, San Antonio's Vanishing Mobile Home Parks and a Path for Preservation, mentions that without intervention from the city, dozens of mobile home parks are still at risk of closing. Well, what happens to the people who are now living in these mobile home parks? And if they close, are they going to be pushed out? What kind of help is out there for them? And also, could manufactured homes, mobile homes, be part of a partial solution for the city's affordable housing problem? You can call in with your questions and comments. The number is 210-614-8980. 210-614-8980. Do you live or have you lived in a mobile home park? What was that like? What do you see as the pros and cons of living in a mobile home, a manufactured home? And you can also email us at thesource@tpr.org and tweet at us at @tprsource. We're joined this hour by Heather Way, a clinical professor at the University of Texas School of Law, co-author of the report Endangered, San Antonio's Vanishing Mobile Home Parks and a Path for Preservation. Heather Way, welcome to The Source.
Thank you for having me. I've been looking forward to this conversation.
Me too. Elizabeth Pata-Davila is with us, Housing Justice Fellow at UT Austin School of Law, co-author of the report. Good to have you, Elizabeth.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Also with us in the studio, Veronica Soto, Director of the City of San Antonio's Department of Neighborhood and Housing Services. Veronica Soto, it's great to have you back.
It's nice to be here.
And also with us on the line, Sasha Hauswald, the Director of the State and Local Policy for Grounded Solutions. Sasha Hauswald, welcome to The Source.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Now, let's figure out more about this report. It's really interesting, the findings that you have. Heather Way, can you tell us more about it?
You know, mobile home parks are a very important source of affordable housing in San Antonio and around the country, and especially for the city's most vulnerable residents. I mean, the median household income of a mobile home resident in the San Antonio region is $36,000. And our report, as you mentioned in the introduction, is focused on, you know, why are they disappearing, but especially what can the city of San Antonio be doing to help preserve the remaining parks. There's, we think, around 88 mobile home parks that are still open, given that this is such a vital part of the city's affordable housing infrastructure. And about, you know, it's close to 22,000 residents in San Antonio currently live in mobile homes, and most of these are concentrated in the mobile home parks.
Elizabeth Pata-Davila, as you helped co-write the report, co-author this report, did you go into San Antonio's mobile home parks?
Yes, so we started doing outreach at the Mission Reach area, and when we went out, we saw that many of the residents' biggest fear was their park closing down because they've seen the changes going around the area.
And what were the conditions like?
The conditions were substandard. There were substandard living conditions in these parks, many residents living in very poorly paved neighborhoods, and lots of crime around the area as well.
One description that I saw was that the violation of many health codes, there were a lot of children in these areas, and that the children were at risk just for living in these places.
Yes. So when this research first started happening, we found that many of these parks failed their city code inspection, and these residents were living in very poor conditions.
Sasha Hauswald, so you're the Director of State and Local Policy for Grounded Solutions. Can you tell me more about Grounded Solutions and what's your point of view here?
Absolutely. So we promote housing solutions that stay affordable for generations so that communities can stabilize and strengthen their foundation for good. And one element of that, of course, is ensuring that that housing is high quality. So in San Antonio, we are working with a team of community leaders and municipal officials to identify how the city can prevent displacement by ensuring affordability and quality in low-cost housing stock like mobile home parks and manufactured housing.
Do you see yourself as an advocate for people who live in, say, mobile homes, mobile home parks?
I see myself as an advocate for a city that can grow in a way that has a thriving economy that supports workers and residents of all income levels.
So basically you're saying we need to talk about affordable housing and we have to think about housing overall for every economic situation that we have in the city.
That's right, that there are residents, long-term and short-term, elders and families, workers and, you know, supporters of all income levels in the city that are crucial to the social fabric and the culture and the economy that makes San Antonio such a special place.
Veronica Soto, Director of the City of San Antonio's Department of Neighborhood and Housing Services, you have a big job. Everyone's turning
yes.
to you to help us figure out this affordable housing situation in San Antonio. Mobile homes, that's something also people are very concerned about the residents who do live in these mobile home facilities, these parks. A lot of these areas have gone decades of neglect, and now we're playing catch up, and it doesn't seem very pretty.
So one of the challenges that we have when we address affordable housing in our community is the fact that we have a lot of need. And we have people who have found the best way to house themselves given their income levels, and those places may not always be up to code, if you will. And so the city has to balance where can people with very low incomes live that is still quality. And that's not particular to San Antonio. It's a struggle for many cities. And we know in San Antonio that in the past, the mobile home parks were a solution for families that had low incomes, where they could still be close to the jobs that they had and be able to afford to live in those areas. But it is a challenge, and we do have to play catch up. The bigger issue, not just for mobile home parks, is that the areas that these are located in, not just for the mobile home park owners, but for the whole neighborhood, are changing. And so that's why our partnership with Grounded Solutions on the anti-displacement work is important. So not just mobile home park areas that are starting to get hot are what we're looking at, but also the whole neighborhood. And so it is a big job. It is a big challenge. But we have a lot of great ideas from the community. So I was glad to see this report come out that highlights one of the vulnerable segments in our community, but certainly not the only one. And so it is part of the conversation, and we're glad to have the conversation to figure out what we can do so that everyone in our city can have access to quality and affordable housing.
So we're talking about basically 22,000 residents in San Antonio now reside in mobile home facilities, mobile home parks. That's 1.5% of our population, not a big chunk of our population. However, these tend to be people who are part of a very vulnerable part of our population. They tend to be a low income. Many of them are disabled. Many of them are elderly. They are in need, and we can't really afford ever to disregard any end of our population, saying, these people, we don't have room for you. You have to move. We have a better use for this property, even though maybe for 10, 20, 30 years you called this home. So we have to figure out, what can we do? What are exit strategies? What's available for us and to make sure that we're able to take care of all of our community? And we want to hear from our community. If you've got a question or comment, call in. The number is 210-614-8980. Do you live in one of these mobile home parks? What's your situation? What do you fear? 210-614-8980. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about mobile home parks here in San Antonio. A recent report took a look at them, Endangered San Antonio's Vanishing Mobile Home Parks and a Path for Preservation. It mentions that without intervention from the city, dozens of mobile home parks that we still have in San Antonio are at risk of closing. And the study mentions 10 different ways to improve the preservation of mobile home parks, including providing residents with the right to purchase their mobile home parks and provide home repair assistance to home repair park residents. That might be a solution, but if the land is sold out underneath you for development, I don't know how that's going to work. Let me go to Heather Way, one of the co-authors of this report from the University of Texas School of Law. Tell me more about some of these key findings and solutions.
Yeah, the solutions, these are best practices from around the country, many of which are in the works here in the state of Texas. One of the most important protections we think cities should be adopting is zoning protections for mobile home parks. This then helps facilitate resident acquisition of the mobile home parks by controlling and tamping down the redevelopment pressures. The city of Austin recently, in the past year or two, rezoned almost all of its mobile home parks to make sure they were part of the city's special designation for mobile home parks. The city of San Antonio has a similar designation for mobile home parks, but we found through our research that the majority of mobile homes, the vast majority, are actually don't have that special, even that are eligible for it, don't have that special zoning protection. And that zoning protection would prevent a mobile home park from being redeveloped as a high-end luxury apartment complex, for example. My colleagues here in Austin are working hard with a local group of residents here in the process of buying their park. We helped a group of residents in Pasadena, Texas, buy their mobile home park, and this is being done all around the country. There's actually some affordable financing tools in place for that, but there's some other things that cities need to adopt to help facilitate those acquisitions. And the wonderful thing about the resident acquisitions is then it provides this permanent source of affordable housing and empowers the residents to be in control of their housing rather than dependent on a landlord that raises the rents and doesn't make repairs or improvements to the premises. It's been a quite successful model nationally.
So I've read about this, and it sounds great, where the residents of a mobile home park are able to get a loan, and they're able to purchase the property where their mobile homes are on, because typically you own the building that you're on, the manufactured home, but you don't own the land that it's on. And then they're able to form a co-op and elect among themselves someone to sort of manage it. And then they, with the rent that they pay, they're able to pay off the loan and also bring about improvements into the facility. And that sounds like almost too good to be true.
I mean, does that, it works.
Is this something that can happen here? Would it work here
absolutely
in San Antonio?
I think so, absolutely. And I know Sasha has seen this work done other areas of the country as well. You know, we've seen this done in Texas successfully and think it is one of the most promising tools available.
So Sasha Housewald, Director of State and Local Policy for Grounded Solutions, what are some of the barriers to trying to take that solution and bring it to San Antonio?
I completely agree that just based on successes elsewhere, it seems like a really promising solution for San Antonio. However, I do want to kind of make sure that I'm within my lane in terms of process. The For Everyone Home team is just beginning to work on our policy solutions, and so we will be kind of considering the proposals that are in this report, amongst others, in the coming months in terms of mobile home park preservation. But to answer your question directly, often mobile home parks have a lot of infrastructure issues that need capital investment. And that's true whether the park is privately owned currently or whether it can be bought by like a mission-driven nonprofit organization to hold the land or whether it's purchased by a tenant co-op. And so at some point, really the public sector needs to step up and own that these parks are an incredibly valuable source of housing, and it's actually more efficient and more economical for the city to ensure that that form of housing is durable and quality for good than to lose those mobile homes and lose that source of housing and just sort of construct new affordable housing elsewhere in the city. But I think the barrier here is that there needs to be capital investments in many of these parks.
So let's take a look again about why so many of these mobile home parks have closed recently in the San Antonio area and why the existing mobile home parks are in jeopardy. And Veronica Soto, the director of the City of San Antonio's Department of Neighborhood and Housing Services, how are you paying attention to this problem?
So our department is not the only one paying attention to this issue. One of the reasons that some of the parks have closed that cited in the report is because of the living conditions and the quality of life is not to our standards. You don't want people living in a condition where there's open sewage lines if they step outside. And unfortunately, we have had some areas that had this. And so that's a health issue, and we don't want our citizens exposed to that. So our code enforcement efforts from our development services department have been very proactive in doing inspections so that those life safety kind of issues are addressed. That's probably one of the biggest things that our inspection team found when they went and looked at some of these mobile home parks. And so the investment needed to address this was one of the issues that caused a few of these to close down. So you have to balance that you want to house people, but you also don't want to house them in an environment that's going to be unhealthy for themselves or for the greater community. And so DSD, our Development Services Department, is certainly looking at this. That department is also the one that would look at the zoning issues as well. And I know my peers in other departments and in our department have looked at this report and have looked at the recommendations and looked at what can we do to help these families. So code enforcement has been very compassionate in the approach when they go and do inspections. And what they have found is that as they have come back, that more mobile homes the parks themselves are in compliance. And so the effort on that side, taking a compassionate approach, knowing who's housed there, has worked. So the conditions have gotten better. And the ones that were really bad are unfortunately the ones that closed. But again, we have to balance because you don't want to have living situations where we make our residents unhealthy.
Right. But you have people who live in these facilities, problems with open sewer, problems with the housing conditions, it's just substandard, almost third world type conditions. And then they tell you, I like it here. This is my home. I've been here for, I raised my children here, and I have no place else to go.
And so one of the other solutions that we have, first, you know, we address the code enforcement kind of issues and the quality of life issues. And there is recognition that this is a factor, and that was recognized by City Council when they created our risk mitigation fund. The risk mitigation fund specifically calls out resources for mobile home parks and residents of those where if they do have to move, we have assistance available so that they don't have that economic burden of having to move. So first, we have housing navigators that can help a family find alternative housing sources, maybe another mobile home park where they can take their unit if we can move it.
And you're working with the San Antonio Housing Authority on these types of things?
Not necessarily the Housing Authority. This is through our department. We have our Fair Housing team where we do have housing navigators, and they help people who are facing displacement pressure. But we specifically made the assistance offered to residents in mobile home parks something on par with how we would help a homeowner who was facing eviction if they were behind on their mortgage payment, for example. So we would pay to relocate an existing mobile home unit to another location so that the economic burden of that wouldn't be on the family. We would help pay for the utilities for about 3 months so that they could find the new place. And so our housing navigators who are led by a social worker would help those families. And so, yes, we find people in that situation that they've lived there a long time and don't want to move. But if we're there with our navigation, housing navigation services and the financial resources to make it better, that's something that we're doing through our risk mitigation fund. And we, again, specifically called out that we will assist mobile home residents to move and help them to find where they can go. And we offer that financial assistance so that they can do so. And that program, we're in our second year of that program, and we assist a lot of families through our risk mitigation fund.
Elizabeth Pata Davila, you're one of the co-authors of this report from UT Austin School of Law. How is gentrification playing? Is it a driver of some of the issues for these mobile home parks?
Yes, it is. So we found that 72% of open mobile home parks are located in areas that are gentrified or susceptible to gentrification. The residents have seen the changes going around their neighborhoods where parks next door have closed down due to the redevelopment pressures. And like Heather had mentioned, one of the biggest protections for this is the zoning protection, rezoning these parks so that they can be protected by the manufactured housing district zoning category.
Right, but so this zoning protection that we're talking about, I wonder about the individual who or the corporation that owns that property. They have property rights, and how does that interfere with their ability to do whatever they want, develop that property however they see fit? Heather Way?
Yeah, in Texas, you're not, even though we have strong property rights, you're not allowed to do whatever you want with your property. Cities do have zoning and land use powers that can, you know, limit development in a way that supports community goals and values. And so cities do have the authority to zone and rezone land, properties that are being used as mobile home parks to rezone those under these mobile home designations. And as I mentioned, that's something that the city of Austin did in the past 2 years.
I mean, but if I see a plot of land right now, it's a mobile home park, the conditions are substandard, unhealthy, unsafe, and I can take that land and build apartments there rather than housing 75 people. Now I can house 300 people in higher quality conditions and even at affordable housing rates. What's wrong with that?
Well, I think then that becomes the nice thing about the zoning is the land can then be rezoned back to or to something like a multifamily use, but then it becomes part of a public conversation. So is this something that's in the best interest of the community for this property to no longer be a mobile home park, or can we figure out a way to put investments to protect and improve the housing conditions of the residents? And so there's a rezoning process in place where then there's a chance for public input to determine whether that property should be rezoned. But if it's never rezoned, then it just anyone can come along and redevelop it for whatever the current zoning allows without that public process.
Sasha Hauswald with Grounded Solutions. Are we tracking the residents of some of these closed mobile home parks? Where are they now?
That is a great question. And I unfortunately, I'm not the best person to speak on that question. I read the amazing report that came out of the Mission Trails mobile home park closure. And those residents, went to a lot of different places, some of them becoming homeless or sort of invisibly homeless by staying on couches and with friends. Others wound up in other affordable housing or public housing, and others moved out of the city entirely. So it really depends on the individual and what their support network looks like.
So from what you're telling me, it sounds like we're not doing a very good job right now.
I'd say there's room for improvement.
I want to add to that. When we assist clients with our risk mitigation fund, if they're residents of mobile home parks or live elsewhere, part of the commitment we made in the policy we adopted was that we would do the tracking. And so it's the only program like that at the city that tracks 6 months after assistance where people are at. And that data is helping us to refine the program, figure out how we could serve our community better. But typical programs like this typically don't track after assistance. So you help someone with utility assistance and off they go, and you don't know if a year later or 6 months later they need the assistance again. What we're doing with our risk mitigation program is improving upon that. Still, not every resident gets tracked who doesn't participate in this, but for risk mitigation, we do that follow-up and we ask where they're at so that we can make it better and we can see what additional resources that family might benefit from.
All right, and that is Veronica Soto, Director of the City of San Antonio's Department of Neighborhoods and Housing Services. We're taking a break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about mobile homes. How could they be a partial solution for San Antonio's housing crunch? What's to keep you from putting one on your land, on your plot? We're going to talk about some of the zoning regulations. 210-614-8980. Stay tuned.
Support for this podcast comes from Sunshine Cottage's Noche del Sol, a fiesta kickoff event with Mexican food, entertainment, and Delaritas, plus a raffle and auctions to benefit the School for Deaf Children, March 26th, 6 p.m. More at sunshinecottage.org.
Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about San Antonio mobile homes. We have existing mobile home parks. They still are there, and their question is, how long will they be there? They're facing all sorts of economic pressures and also pressures from the city of San Antonio trying to improve the quality of life at these facilities because they are, in some ways, dangerous for the individuals who live there. What's the future of these parks and the people who live at mobile home parks in San Antonio? You can call in. The number is 210-614-8980. We got an email from Julie. I'm hoping the discussion of manufactured homes as a low-cost housing solution will include the use of manufactured homes as infill housing rather than limited to the placement to parks that are often hard to manage and maintain. So let me go first to Veronica Soto, director of the City of San Antonio's Department of Neighborhood and Housing Services. What's to prevent anyone from taking a manufactured home, mobile home park type thing, and just putting it on a plot in the City of San Antonio?
So we go back to the zoning questions. This is still a city that tells us, for our protection, if a noxious use should or should not be in a neighborhood. And so zoning is a way to have those uses that may not be compatible with residential in the same place. And zoning not only does that, it also makes sure that we're building to quality standards. And our current code doesn't allow that because not just the zoning, but also the building code requires certain standards for a home. So you need the permanent foundation so that you can have the utilities come to that lot. And so if you just put a mobile home and don't have the proper infrastructure for it, it may not be creating the best condition either. One of the things that we're doing, which is not using these manufactured homes in that way, is we're looking at accessory dwelling units. These still would be more permanent, but they're side houses, granny flats is what they're commonly called. And so those could be a solution that way. Not necessarily mobile home parks as a solution, but if we were to make it easier to have an accessory dwelling unit in someone's house that already has the lot, has the home, that could be a way that we could have it be a part of how we resolve our affordable housing issues. But the mobile home park raises questions because you still need the utilities to get there, and we still require foundations as well. And then the other issue with manufactured homes is also the issue of depreciation. Something on a permanent foundation does not depreciate in the same way a mobile home park does. It's like when you buy a car, as soon as you drive it off the lot, it's worth less. Same with manufactured homes. So they don't increase in value. And so that's part of it. And our zoning laws are designed to help protect and have clarity around what is going to appreciate as well. It protects us. You don't have, you know, the pig farm across the way because that's not compatible with the neighborhood. And so there is that characteristic and that character that zoning does help to protect.
Let's go to the phone lines, 210-614-8980. And Maria is called. Maria's question is along those similar lines. And Maria, go right ahead.
Yes, I just saw two freight train cars that are parked as housing in a deep West Side neighborhood. And I have questions about how those two freight train cars were parked there as housing. And then if just the way those are there, if a mobile home could have been located there too.
All right, Maria, thank you for that call. Let's go back to Veronica Soto. So, you know, people take these cargo boxes and they turn them into housing, and you can't use that either. That's not a mobile home either.
That's not a mobile home, but so the car box manufacturing that we have seen, that does have a permanent foundation. And so because it has that permanent foundation, it has been allowed. There was a recent change maybe about a year ago that did allow that to occur. We do have some lots in our city that are very small. It's part of our history that we tended to have smaller lots. And so that kind of car box can work, but it still has the permanent foundation and it still has the proper utilities. And so that's why it's housing. For mobile homes, there's some units called manufactured housing, and there's a certain standard that they are built to that meets the HUD standards. HUD is the one that sets out those standards. If they meet those standards and they're on a permanent foundation, these are not mobile homes, but they're manufactured homes, they can be deemed as permanent housing and can be used as homes, but it's still manufactured housing that meets a certain HUD standard. And so the car boxes, that construction, you still have the infrastructure that allows it to serve as housing because of the foundation and the utility line infrastructure that still meets code.
So you're saying, I mean, if I had a plot inside the city of San Antonio and I poured a slab and I got the meter hooked up and I did all these things, and then I could buy a manufactured home and have it dropped on that property, infill development, and that would meet San Antonio code.
If it met the code requirements. So there are some that would meet it. I don't know if the cost
is... happening often?
We're not seeing a lot of that, just like we're not seeing a lot of that car box, you know, rail car box manufacturing either.
But when you look at the cost, manufactured homes can cost an average of $62,000 compared to building a new single family home. That's $272,000. That's a huge savings. And if it's street legal, you know, if you're able to do that, why don't you?
And again, it's our building standards that govern that. And so if they have the permanent foundation, if they still meet the municipal codes and they meet that HUD certified standard, then we can do it. And we haven't seen a whole lot of that in the city. I feel like I'm getting out of my lane with this a little bit, though.
Does the person who owned the property, owned the lot, have to own the building as well? Because sometimes there's regulations saying you can't have to rent both, and some say you don't.
I'm not sure about that.
Okay. Let me ask some of our guests about what their take is on this situation. So, Sasha Hauswald, if you can talk about, you're with Grounded Solutions. Do you see this as a viable path to take some of the pressure off of San Antonio's housing situation?
And when you say this, are you referring to preservation of the existing mobile home parks or infill housing using manufactured housing?
I'm interested in the infill using manufactured housing.
You know, that is, I'd say, too controversial for me to weigh in on definitively. San Antonio does have a lot of vacant parcels and a lot of small vacant parcels. And San Antonio also has a lot of aging single-family homes and apartment buildings that are currently low-cost, that are serving people relatively well, but that really need to be renovated or to have some small repairs done in order to continue to provide quality housing for the people that are there. And so I would say, you know, getting into the business of investing in impermanent structures that, as Veronica is speaking to, you know, don't meet current code requirements, don't meet the requirements for HUD investment, and depreciate a lot over time. I'm not saying it's something that could never work, but I think that it's something that has very significant drawbacks as compared to some of the other options for creating and preserving affordable housing.
Heather Way, clinical professor at the University of Texas School of Law, co-author of the report Endangered San Antonio's Vanishing Mobile Home Parks and Path for Preservation. Should the city try to help bring about more mobile home parks? Is the city working to try to allow that to happen? And what do you have a quick take on whether or not, you know, using manufactured housing for infill development?
Yeah, I don't We haven't seen much in terms of the reports we got from the city and its inspection list. We haven't seen any growth in mobile home parks. We think that there's enough issues with the remaining 88 open mobile home parks and the need for investment and protections of those parks to help provide that safe, decent, affordable home for those 22,000 residents. The infill question is a really good one, and I think it just raises a really important policy conversation that to have around are our cities' zoning and land use policies effectively keeping poor people out and pushing them out of the city as it redevelops. And to the extent that there's extra and vacant land that a low-income house can actually afford, I think that we should be figuring out ways that we can create affordable alternatives, even if that doesn't mean the traditional single-family housing structure. I mean, $272,000 is not something that's accessible to anyone that's currently living in a mobile home park at this time.
And Heather Way, the way that we treat the purchase of mobile homes is very different than the way that you would finance a traditional fixed home. And it's not treated as real estate, it's treated as personal property by the banks. And so you don't really benefit a lot from like Fannie Mae and things like that. It's like a car loan. And so it can be very expensive to the money to borrow this type of thing. And so if we did want to help people who are low income, maybe we should rethink how we treat this type of homes.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, mobile home financing has historically been a pretty predatory form of financing with much higher interest rates than you're going to find if you go to a bank to get a mortgage to buy a traditional single-family home. And that then, even though the mobile home is otherwise pretty affordable compared to a single-family housing structure, the financing for that structure really can drive up the cost. And it is a problem, and a good public policy approach to that is development of alternative financing models with lower interest rates to help
sure.
a family be able to also acquire the home. But that's a really good point you raise, is that the financing is an issue as well.
All right, we're talking about San Antonio's mobile homes, mobile home parks. What's the future of them? What's going to happen to the people who live there? If you got a question or a comment, 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. The source continues right after this. Listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies, and we're talking about San Antonio's mobile homes. And one of the co-authors of the report from the University of Texas School of Law, Endangered San Antonio's Vanishing Mobile Home Parks in a Path for Preservation, Elizabeth Pata Davila. And if you could tell me, how well informed are the residents of these mobile home parks about their current situation? Do they know that They could be pushed out, that any day now they could get a letter saying we're closing the park down and you got to go? Do they know what the city is offering if that does happen?
They definitely are aware of the situation that is going around their neighborhoods. They see the next door parks being sold. They see buildings being more businesses going into their neighborhoods, and they're aware that at any moment they could be displaced and their park could be sold. They also have heard many rumors from at least the parks that we've done outreach at that the owner is looking to sell the parks. And they know that they at any moment they could possibly lose their homes.
And the typical rent that people pay for a mobile home, I've seen like $300, $600. It's pretty low.
Yes, we've seen also a low of $200 a month for rent.
And so these are really kind of, they're kind of shabby. You know, they're not great places to live, but this is what these people can afford. And they don't see themselves being able to afford any other place. Now, I don't know where else you're going to live in San Antonio for $200 a month.
Yeah, and they also have pride in their homes. This is something that they purchased with their money and they own and are able to build on. This is where they raise their families and where they have their neighborhood meetings. They know their communities. So it's more than just a park to them. This is a home.
Right, because they see themselves as homeowners. They
yes.
own the trailer home that they're on. But typically these things can be 30 years old or older, and they're not mobile any longer. You can't move that thing.
No, and if they tried, they would be completely destroyed.
It would fall apart. So calling it a mobile home is a misnomer.
And that's something that I think the people who live in this kind of housing are proud of the housing that they were able to afford. My own tia Paula lives, for 40 years. She has lived in a mobile home park. Her daughter, they bought the lot in an unincorporated area, but it's what they could afford. And so if we tried to move her mobile home, I'm sure it would fall apart. But her daughter built a house next door to that. And it was a foundation. Slowly, I think it took them about 5 years to build it out. And they're very proud of that. It's a lot of dirt where they're at. But they're very proud that it's their version of the American dream. It's what they could afford as the American dream. And so that pride in ownership, in building something is there. And these people, I mean, there's a lot of compassion that we have to have, and we have to treat them with the respect they're due because they do have that pride. And so the city, as we work with these communities, we remember that, and we know we have to be compassionate. One of the things we haven't mentioned is that a lot of residents of these parks are not documented either. And so they would not be eligible for other affordable housing, such as perhaps finding a home through the San Antonio Housing Authority, because they might not have the documents to do that. And so we have to take this very compassionate approach, knowing that people are doing the best they can with the resources they have, and that even though it may not look the best, there's a lot of pride in their home.
I also want to mention that it's a very tight-knit community in many of these mobile home parks. People feel like that's something that they'll never, ever get back if they're forced to, when they have to leave. Let me go to a caller. This is Andrew. Andrew, thanks for calling into The Source. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes. My question actually is pretty much just related to what you guys were just talking about as far as how do we, you know, get people that are actually in these communities more involved in a proactive manner. And spreading the outreach. You know, one of the things that's been going around for the last couple of years is Andrew Yang's Freedom Dividend. He's trying to put money into people's hands, and obviously he's not in the campaign anymore for president. But the idea was so that people can have the opportunity to be more proactive in their own lives, solving their own problems, being more active in their communities. What is being done, or what could be done to I don't want to say raise alarms, but to get people in these mobile homes, in the community surrounding them, more involved in proactive approaches to the problem.
Got it, Andrew. Thank you for calling in. Let me go to Heather Way, one of the co-authors of this report about how to involve the residents, helping them have more control over their destiny in this area.
Yeah, and it's such a great question. I think one that comes back to the recommendation we have about supporting tenant acquisitions at mobile home parks and taking that property out of the speculative real estate market and into the hands of a tenant or a nonprofit that's set up that they are members of is such a great way to do that. But one of the other key things we also recommend, and that also is actually instrumental in helping tenants be able to buy their park, is supporting that tenant engagement and outreach. And Lizbeth can really speak best to this, but when they've gone out to conduct this outreach to the mobile home park residents in the city as part of the project that we're leading, they've gotten threatened with calls to the police and told to stay off the property. And so there needs to be more protections. One of our recommendations is to actually enhance and adopt protections for ability for folks like Lizbeth and others to be able to go out into properties to conduct that tenant engagement and outreach. Our hope is that through that engagement, that tenants, and we're already seeing this, are wanting to come together and form residents associations and are already talking about ways that they can be proactive, just like the caller asked about, to take control of their destiny. And we just had an event last weekend where one of the residents there talked about, gosh, you know, he has all these construction skills, and other residents, too. Is there a way they could come together to help support each other? Right now, they're not eligible for any city repair programs. The city's repair programs don't serve mobile home park residents, and so is there a way that they could sort of take that over, hopefully eventually with some city support?
One of the recommendations in the report is calling for the creation of a mobile home park preservation officer position. Veronica Soto, you're the director of the City of San Antonio's Department of Neighborhood and Housing Services. Is that something that you're looking at?
Because it's in the report, we're going to look at it. We have had housing navigators in our department that provide some of the counseling around these kinds of issues, including fair housing issues, rights that tenants may have, not just in mobile home parks, but as renters in this community. So that is something we can look at. A lot of the conversation we've had this last hour is really about resources. So Heather talked about financing, creating a new position is about resources as well. How do we help our community the best? We know this is an area that needs help. And so we'll look at it, but I also have to look at the wider picture of there are a lot of folks who are renters, not just in mobile home parks, that may need assistance too. So maybe I just need more housing navigators to help people know what fair housing issues there are and know their fair housing rights as well. And so it is something we'll continue to look at.
Another recommendation, enforce the mobile living park ordinance, bond and relocation cost requirements. Heather Way, it's not being enforced now?
No, we found that it wasn't. And in terms of resources, this is a way that the city can recoup the resources that it's spending on relocation costs right now. So under the city's ordinance, a mobile home park is actually responsible for paying the residents' relocation costs when a property is shut down for health and safety violations. But instead, the city's been paying out those costs, and our understanding hasn't been recouping that. And they can actually require a performance bond up front to help recoup those costs. So we think that's a way, because we agree that resources are an issue. That's one way. Another, I think, way to get at the resource issue, I mean, 9 of the mobile home parks are in a city tax increment reinvestment zone. These are zones where the city is taking all the increase in taxes from that area and putting it back into economic redevelopment. Well, part of that money could be used to help the mobile home parks in that neighborhood to stabilize them and to repair them. So there are a number of resources there. It's just going to take some additional creativity and different approaches to the current resources that are on the table.
And just to be clear, Heather Way, your report, you're looking at the City of San Antonio proper mobile home parks. You're not looking at unincorporated areas in the periphery of the city?
Our focus was on mobile home parks within the city limits of San Antonio, but of course mobile home parks exist in unincorporated areas as well.
And the city of San, outside the city of San, in the county, we're seeing an explosion of growth. And they're dealing with their own situation, and they don't have the protections that the city offers. Sasha Hauswald with Grounded Solutions. In unincorporated areas, do they have a different set of problems?
So I think that what I would like to do is, I guess, pivot a little bit and talk about the most efficient way of investing in mobile home parks that are both in unincorporated areas and within the city.
Okay, really tight because we're short on time.
Sure thing. So what Heather's been talking about is a form of shared equity home ownership where the public sector, be it the county or the city, makes a one-time public investment that then ensures that that property can be affordable, not just for this household, but for future households. And the reason that that's so crucial in a place that is growing as quickly as Bexar County is that land values are skyrocketing, as you said, outside of the city and within it. And so that shared equity homeownership model is going to be an incredibly efficient use of public resources to ensure affordability for the long run.
All right. Sasha Hauswald is the director of state and local policy for Grounded Solutions, and they're working with the city to help deal with the mobile home situation in San Antonio. We're also joined by Heather Way, clinical professor with the University of Texas School of Law, co-author of the report. We've been talking about this hour, Endangered, San Antonio's Vanishing Mobile Home Parks and a Path for Preservation. Co-author of the report, Elizabeth Paradavila, is with the UT School of Law, and also with This is Our. We were joined by Veronica Soto, director of the City of San Antonio's Department of Neighborhood and Housing Services. More to come. Y'all are working on a follow-up and trying to come up with solutions. Yes?
Yes. Through our work with Grounded Solutions, we're going to tackle this issue.
All right. Well, thank you so much. And this is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for tuning us in.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies, produced by Kim Johnson and Dallas Williams, with production assistance provided by me, Ruben Garcia. Dan Katz is TPR's news director. Support for The Source comes from contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.